The help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening by using the scripture part that we have been reading from Revelation 1. And I read especially verse 8 as the text verse for the sermon. Revelation 1, verse 8, where we read as follows. I'm Alpha and Omega. Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The theme for the sermon is the time is at hand. 3 points of attention. First point, revelation of Christ. A second point, grace and peace. And a third point, Alpha and Omega. So the theme is the time is at hand. 3 points, revelation of Christ, grace and peace, Alpha and Omega. I remember, dear congregation, that when I was on the high school, boys and girls, there was a teacher geography, and it happened one day that we had a conversation, we as a group with him, and we asked him, well, teacher, do you have children? I said, no, I don't. I don't think it's good to have children. I cannot take that responsibility in this time of world history. It was in the time that we would call it the Cold War, with all the anxiousness about bombs, nuclear bombs, and said, well, it's too bad in the world, he said, you know, it's such a dangerous time we live in, so how can you have children? What are they gonna experience in this world? How can I put children in this world? Yeah, it is too bad if a person is thinking that way, because scripture says children are a blessing of the Lord. And yeah, if you know that his teacher didn't believe in God, then yeah, you can understand his way of thinking. There is so much uncertainty in this world, and maybe you are struggling with that, boy, girl, adult, struggling with that uncertainty. What will happen in my life? What's gonna happen in this world? See what happened in this year behind. So what will the future bring? Yeah, especially when you are young, there can be a lot of questions about that. I can understand that. You can have questions what you're gonna do, what am I gonna study? What will my occupation be? Will I get work? Will I get a job? Will I find a spouse? And are there things that I have to experience? Difficult things, tribulations, afflictions. All those things can be in your heart. I know. But now, this evening, the Lord is coming to us. The living God, who created everything, and who has all things in his hand. And he is going to speak to you, having all those questions in your heart. He is going to reveal what will happen. It says in this part of scripture, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So God gave to Christ, God the Son, the revelation. And he sent and signified it by his angel. So Christ used an angel unto his servant John, and John had to write it down, and he did. He was there in captivity because of the name of the Lord Jesus. That can be, have been very hard to him to leave his beloved congregation, the Ephesians, and to be there alone on an island, Island Patmos. He could have felt useless. Maybe we have that in our lives, that we say, well, what happens to me? I feel so useless. Why didn't the Lord me give this task or that position? But this situation was used by the Lord in a very special way to reveal things that would happen in world history before the Lord Jesus would return. We all know that he will return one day. We've confessed that with the Belgic Confession of Faith. And the Lord has revealed things that will happen. So John had to write it down, and he had to send this revelation to the church. And so the Lord took care that we would receive it. And now, today, the last day of the year 2014, we've read it. How good is the Lord that he is coming to us with his word, taking care of us, that you as a boy, as a girl, a child, could find rest in him. It is the book of the Revelation. Revelation means that the Lord is going to show things that have been hidden. So, children, as if it was that there was a cloth, a piece of cloth over this, what is standing here, then you would see that cloth and you couldn't see what is under it. You would see, well, something must be there, but I don't know what. Till I would take that cloth away, you would say, oh, now I see what it is. So then it's revealed. So the Lord is revealing things that are hidden, that are going to happen in the future, in the last days. You could say that the time between Pentecost and Christ returning to judge. And it says here, to show unto his servants. So who are those servants? Well, all those that want to serve the Lord. That hear his word. And by the power of his word are changed to trust him. And are renewed to serve him. That the Lord changed their will. By nature we want to serve ourselves. I want to do what I like. And what is good for me. To my glory, to my benefit. And now when the Lord comes in your heart, that's changing. And that's giving you such a deep joy and peace. And to such people, the Lord is revealing things. What things? Well, things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly. Must come to pass, yes. So, we know from what the Lord has revealed here, that all things that happen in world history must come to pass. It's revealed by the Lord, the revelation of Christ, given by God to him, to an angel, to John. And those things, they must come to pass. So there's a deep comfort in it. If you read this book, you will find several things very difficult. But when you study it, then there's such a deep comfort in this book of Revelations. Maybe you still have some questions. Maybe you have read a book and you say, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Can you say what will happen here in the United States next year? Well, no, it's not like that. It's not that this book is revealing exactly what time, what exactly will happen. It's not like a puzzle. Some try to use it that way. But that wouldn't be good. Then we would be like standing before the Lord and say, Lord, thou hast to do this and this and that and that. Now that's all in the hands of the Lord, and we should trust Him. So, what does it mean that it is revealing things if it is not making everything very clear what is going to happen, at what point of time in world history? Well, you could say, well, it's a book, a prophetic book, but it's revealing it in such a way that when it happens, that you will say, oh, now I see. Well, now I see. This is what the Lord already said in His Word. And then there's such a deep comfort that you will know, well, this is a terrible thing that happens, but it is in the Word. So I know the Lord is in control. He is doing it. All things are in His hand. It is according to His Word. Like what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he had known the book of the prophet Joel for a long time, but then when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is poured out, he says, well, this is what is written by the prophet Joel. Then he understood, then he saw it when it happened. And there's a deep comfort in it that you see, well, it's true, the word is true. And the Lord is ruling this world history. He has revealed it to those that are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, receive faith in their heart. They will see and understand, so that they will not be discouraged, or that they will not be desperate, but that they will be encouraged. It's true. It's according to the Word. Well, it's hard for us. It's really difficult. But these are things that must come to pass. Why does it say here, those things must come to pass? Why must it happen this way? Why are all those terrible things happening? Why are Christians in Syria or Iraq beheaded? Children of Christians that confess the name of the Lord Jesus are killed there when they stay to be faithful to the Lord. All these things must come to pass. Well, because all those things are in the counsel of the Lord, in His eternal plan to bring this world to His high goal, to the renewal, so that it will be totally like it was in paradise and even more secure, to the glory of His name. So the Lord is busy in this world history to bring this world to His goal, like it is in His counsel. And the things that happen, they must come to pass. It says, they must shortly come to pass. Oh, and faith, a living faith in your heart, will find rest in this. The things that happen in world history, the things that happen in my personal life, they are not happening by accident. It's not a cruel fate that is deciding the things that happen, but it is the Lord whom I by faith know as a heavenly Father. He is ruling this world history. And now I can find rest and peace in that. Those things must come to pass. They all fit in His counsel. So that at the end, everything will be to His glory. And that every knee will bow to give glory to God. Yeah, those that know him by faith will do that willingly. And those that will continue to resist against the Lord, they will do it forced. Oh, how terrible. They will have to acknowledge while they perish that the Lord is God and that Christ is the King of Kings. Those things must shortly come to pass. So you could say, this word shortly, it shows the Lord is, we say it with reverence, the Lord is in a hurry. Those things must shortly come to pass. The Lord is not postponing, in a certain way, not sitting back and just let it go. No, he is busy to do the things according to his counsel to bring this world to that future that he has in purpose, that he destined. But maybe you say, well, is that really true? Because another year went and passed by and the Lord Jesus didn't return. It's lasting so long. Is it really true? Will he come? Is it all true what is written in Scripture? Why does it take so long? Hundreds and thousands of years? Yeah, Peter says in his letter there's a very important reason for that. Because the Lord is so merciful. That's why he is, as it were, keeping the day of judgment, waiting. Why? That people would convert, that people would repent and be saved. It's his mercy that it is lasting so long. He doesn't have a desire that people will perish. He does not have a desire that you will perish. Do you see that? The time that we receive is God's mercy. It is a time to receive grace. The Lord has revealed those things so that we would see, yes, he is in control. Although it is true, there are terrible things written in this book. Things that can make you scared. Famines and wars and all sort of things. Yeah, but it's all in the hand of God, a wise and good and just God. It says here, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. What does it mean? Alpha is the first letter and Omega the last one. So there's nothing before and nothing after. The Lord is having everything in control. He is ruling this world history. Do you find comfort in that? It says here, well, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You can think about those churches in those days. Maybe small churches gathering in a house, in a home. Maybe having only one Bible. And there was one person who would read the Bible. So this is revealed by God and it should be revealed to the church. So there is a person that has to read. Blessed is he that readeth. And there the congregation is sitting. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. So if you really hear the words, hear the words, then you will keep those words. You keep them in mind. You keep them in your heart. And you will pray that the Lord will give you an obedient heart to believe what He has said in His Word. And that you will see this revelation of Christ as the most important thing in this world history, as the only point of rest for your heart, that Christ revealed Himself. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. He cometh with clouds, yeah. So He will come with the clouds of the sky. And clouds can look beautiful. Clouds can also be very dark and make you scared. And that seems to be the meaning here also. He's coming in such a way, He's coming with the clouds. There are signs of His coming. Wars, famines, disasters happening in this world, and false teaching, and all these things are like clouds that show that He is coming. They are like His footsteps. How can you say with Guido de Bray that you have expectation, that you have a desire for that great day, a great desire in your heart to see Him coming? Yeah, we are spared by the Lord, and we don't know for sure if we will enter the new year, and we don't know if we will be there next year. But that is not the most important question. But do you know this Savior? Did He come to your heart? And did you see in Him what you need for forgiveness of your sins? And then whatever might happen in this world history, nothing could take that away from your heart. You will have what you need to die and to live, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the revelation of Christ. It's about grace and peace. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. What a deep words. It's the way that He's starting this book. You could say grace and peace is He wishing to them. You can say grace is the source, and peace is the fruit. Grace means the undeserved favor of the Lord. He is writing about that what we all need, that undeserved favor of the Lord. We really do not deserve it. If the Lord would do to us according to what we have done this year, what would happen? If we think about it, only if it was only one sin, it makes us worthy of the punishment of the Lord, the eternal punishment of the Lord. It will make us deserve hell. And how many sins have there been in this year behind? It's good that we stop this evening here, sit down here in the house of the Lord, the house of prayer, and that we think about, what did I do this year? How did I use what the Lord gave to me? And maybe you say, well, there are many things I am not satisfied about what the Lord gave to me. I'm disappointed. I've reasons to complain. Is that true? You are healthy enough to sit here this evening. You have clothes to wear. Did you get food today? Is there a house to live in? What are you complaining about? If there's anything to complain, there's reason to complain about your sins, isn't it? About the depravity of your heart. Isn't it true that the Lord has reason to complain about what we have done in this year? If we think about it, all those sins in our thoughts and words and deeds, that we neglect the Lord, that we didn't love Him in our hearts and minds, that we didn't honor Him, that we forgot about Him. It's like a mountain. You cannot look over it. It is so uncountable what we sinned against the Lord. Oh, if the Lord would do with me according to my sins, I really here at this moment would perish. I cannot stand, I cannot exist before the Lord. And now there's a word here, and it is grace. It's such a sweet word. It's what Christ has prepared by His coming down from heaven. He, the eternal God, without beginning, the Alpha, He is, you can say He is the beginning of everything, and He is the goal, the Omega of everything. And He came down from heaven to prepare grace, so that I, the chief of sinner, can be forgiven. That there today, this evening, can come peace in my heart. That when I remember all those, or many of those sins that I did, that I do not have to be in darkness, to be desperate, but that there is a light coming in the darkness of my own sinfulness. And such a sweet word coming to my heart, grace. That's what I need. And that is what is there prepared in Christ. Did that word grace become sweet to your heart? You say, oh no, I do not understand what you're talking about. Well, I've heard it many times, but I do not experience that. How can I have that grace? What do I have to do to receive that peace in my heart, in my life? What am I going to change in my life? What am I going to perform? Which works shall I do? I understand what you say. You want to do something to find peace. But I said, now the source of peace is grace. It is undeserved. It is not what you can claim. It is not what you can get by your efforts. But it is by Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. If you ever want peace, if you ever would receive peace in your heart, then it is from the beginning till the end, from Christ. He did it all to give you peace, boy, girl, children. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come. We can use that about Christ, but here, when we hear that, we are thinking especially about God the Father, because when we continue, we will see that they are spoken about the Holy Spirit, and then in the third place about Christ. So when it says here, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, we think about God, we think about the Father. You can think about what he said to Moses when, I think, children, you know that history, that Moses was in the desert and there was a bush that was on fire and it didn't consume. And the Lord revealed himself. He said, I am who I am. So, who is? And who was? He's always been there. And which is to come? God is not staying away from us, but he is coming to us. He is coming in his word. He is coming in his son. He is coming to save man out of misery. And yeah, if we will resist him, he will come for judgment. God, he is the one that is giving grace to people that cannot make peace in their own hearts, so that they will find peace in him. The one who is the everlasting God. Yeah, even if you will have to die, then he will be there. There will be no point in time, in eternity, that the Lord is not there. He's eternal. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, what does it mean? You've heard those words many times when we start a service. What are the seven spirits before his throne? Is it about angels? We know the angels are before the throne of God. They are ready for the service of the Lord, for the service of those that are elected, that will receive the eternal glory of God. The Lord is sending them out, but it's not about the angels. The seven spirits which are before his throne. We have to know that in the book of Revelation, the numbers are having a meaning. And seven is a number to talk about a fullness. So when it says the seven spirits, it's a way to speak about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God himself. And we do not say there are seven Holy Spirits, but the number seven is expressing that there's a fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it says here, the seven spirits which are before his throne. Well, we know God is in the throne and the Holy Spirit is God. But that expression to say seven spirits which are before his throne, yeah, something to show that that spirit is ready. Is there to do what should be done on earth. And really this spirit is given, is poured out, and there's abundance of that spirit with God. Oh, that's such a deep comfort. It's with a reason that the Holy Spirit is called a comforter. I read, as someone said, well, in the Holy Spirit, God is coming most near to man. And I was thinking for a while about that. Yeah, that is true. God, who is so unspeakable high in heaven, so mighty, so great, he came down to earth in Christ to be man. It's very near. Christ became like we are. You could say, and we say it with reverence again, he became part of our family, became man. But Now in the Holy Spirit, God is even becoming more near. He's dwelling inside of the hearts of the children of God. Here, the eternal God, unlimited, omnipresent, dwelling within my heart. I, a small human being, by nature a dark, sinful heart, and there God is coming within. And there are seven spirits before his throne. There's a fullness of that Holy Spirit poured out with Pentecost. And the apostle, he's writing to the Ephesians and says that they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means when the Holy Spirit will come in your heart, when you will know Christ by faith, then that's the moment that he is there in your heart, entering your heart. He is, himself is working that faith. That doesn't mean, well, it is true, the Holy Spirit will never leave the children of God. He will stay there. It's the faithfulness of God. When I will enter one day that heavenly place of glory, it's not that I'm so faithful, but the Lord is faithful, staying with me. But that doesn't mean that my heart is always so full of that Holy Spirit like it should be. I'm ashamed about that. I can fill my heart with many other things. And you, doing that? That's terrible. That we can neglect this precious thing of that indwelling the Holy Spirit, allowing other things to take over in my heart more and more. That's why the apostle said that to the Ephesians, that they should be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again. I need it. I hope you pray for me, beloved congregation, that you pray for me, that the Lord will fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray for you. I pray for you, boys and girls, children, that the Lord will fill your heart with the Holy Spirit. And it's so comforting when I read that there is such a fullness of that Spirit. There's nothing lacking with God. There's enough. All we need is there. Oh, that we wouldn't live so poor because of our unbelief. And we would trust the Lord more, would seek Him more, would rest more in that work of Christ. And from the seven spirits which are before His throne, there's such an abundance, such a fullness. There's enough to teach me, to guide me, to comfort me, to fill me, to renew me, to give me grace and peace in my heart. And from Jesus Christ, usually we will say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here, it's first about the Father as the one who, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits, the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. Well, they are all equal. None of them is more or less. So, in a certain way, it doesn't matter which one we mention first. And probably it's done here because, you know, it's ending up in a, you could say, a song of praise about Christ, whom He is. Oh yes, He is the one that came down from heaven to do everything that should be done, what we should have done, to bring man back to God. And it's with a reason that we read in this same book of Revelations that all those that will be saved will take the thrones and throw it before the Lamb and say, Thou art worthy to receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. He's really the center of our salvation. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and had made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. If you love the Lord, your heart will beat faster when you hear this, isn't it? How great is this Savior. What a King. What a great Savior we have. Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness. Yeah, he was really faithful. Are we? Have we been faithful this year to witness about the Lord? Did we use all the opportunities to give glory to him, to speak about his grace and his peace? Yeah, sometimes people will ask questions and say, well, how is that possible? And, you know, Christianity is hard for me to believe because I see what Christians do. And so what are you going to answer? Well, usually the best thing you can do is to give an honest and simple testimony. I hope you can do that. About who Christ is for you. You say, I know, there are many things I do not understand. And I agree many Christians behave wrong, and I'm not perfect either. But Christ is so good. I love him so much. He has forgiven all my sins. There is such a deep peace that I found within him. If you could say that, wouldn't that be the best answer? Wouldn't that be a thing that the Lord could use to make the other one think about it? Yeah, I hope you did that. Many times we didn't. Eh? We are not faithful. But Christ is a faithful witness. Standing before Pilate, he was faithful unto death to save his church. He is the first begotten of the dead. Is that true? There have been other people who had been risen from the dead. Yeah. But he is the first begotten in that way that he resurrected in his own power. So, yeah, it is by him that all will resurrect. It is by his resurrection. He resurrected after he died on the cross. And he completed everything. He made a full satisfaction. So he is the first fruit, you could say, of the full harvest that will come. When the dead will rise. And all the children of God will receive a body, glorified body, to give glory to God. But he is the first. He is the source. He's the reason. He's the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Yeah, to him is given all authority. What can happen to you if you belong to him? What can a man do to you? Well, Christ says you shouldn't fear for those that can do harm to your body. Fear God, who can destroy body and soul in hell. Can you say that? I fear God much more than I fear any man. He is a prince of kings of the earth. I fear God in a childlike way. Not that I'm afraid of God. No. Now, because the love of Christ has filled my heart, the fear has left my heart. There's such a joy in knowing this God. He is so great. That's why I say that I fear Him. And I'm so small. And in myself so sinful. But He has washed me. He has loved me. And washed me from all my sins. Not only mine, but of many. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Oh, what will it be to sing the glory to Him with an uncountable multitude in all eternity? How will it be in heaven? Well, Christ will be the center. He will be all. Will we recognize each other? Well, probably, but He will be the center. It will be all about Christ. And to give glory to Him, He will be the joy of our hearts. You know Him. Did you ever find joy in this Savior? In His work? In the power of His blood? He washed us from our sins in His own blood. He gave His blood, His life, to wash my dirty sins away. To make me white as snow. And that made us kings and priests. It's all grace. He is washed. And so He is forgiving sins. But He's also renewing. He's making us kings and priests. Yeah, that's His work. Unto God and His Father. Something will be seen of Christ in the lives of His children. They will be like kings and priests on earth. It will be a beginning. They will not be perfect in themselves. They will have a fight against our old nature. It's something of Christ. His own work will be seen. He had made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. That's what faith knows and confesses. Yeah, by the grace of Christ, I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm no longer serving myself. But by His grace, I'm made a king and a priest to rule over sin and Satan. And to be a priest in such a way that I want to serve God in a priestly way, like a priest does, unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. No longer for myself. That has changed in my life. Christ is the center of my heart. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 4:17, stanza 1 till 3. 4:17, stanza 1. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, Thy light and truth to be my guide. 4:17, stanza 1 till 3.
Thank you.
Are you scared? Are you concerned about what can happen in your life? I understand. But listen to these words that Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. There's nothing before Him. He is there from all eternity. And there will be nothing after Him. He will be there till all eternity. And oh, the one big question is, do you belong to Him? Did He buy you with His precious blood? Did you cry out for this Savior and find rest in His grace, find peace for your heart? He is the beginning and the ending. All things that are created by Him. And He will be the one bringing all things to completion according to His counsel, according to the Word of God, according to His purpose. And nothing is able to stop that. Satan is conquered by Christ dying on the cross, and sin is overcome by Him, and death, He resurrected. He is the beginning and the ending. When we will have to die, He is there. He is there for His children to bring them through the Jordan of death into that promised land, into eternal glory. Yeah. Why are you scared? Why so concerned? What are you bothering about? Oh, that you would trust this Savior, Christ, this King, this Prince of the Kings of the Earth. What is said about God the Father in verse 4, and we can also read it in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, about what happens in heaven, and the four beasts, and each of them six wings about Him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which and is to come. So the four beasts, you could say, representing all living creatures, giving glory to God. So what is said about God, about God the Father in verse 4, is in verse 8 also said about Christ, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty. He is the one that will come with the clouds. He is the one to whom God has given judgment over this world. So that is in His hands, in His pierced hands. With which He was nailed to the cross. Oh, then if you came to Him, if you really came to Him to acknowledge your guilt, your sin, your need, oh, then you have to be sure that there's mercy with Him, with His Savior, that is pierced because of my sins. And every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Yeah. It is so sad that I did it with my sins. But oh, those tears in my eyes because of my sinning against such a good God, against such a merciful Savior, God will wipe those tears away for all eternity. There will be no tears anymore, no darkness. There will be a full glory and joy. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. He was upon the cross, he is pierced there by the Roman soldier. But it were my sins, it were our sins who did it. And every eye will see him. Also those that have resisted him and continue to resist him. That's terrible. And because you cannot escape from him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. There's no way that you could escape from him. There's no way that you could conquer him. So there will be no peace in all eternity if you fight against this God by continuing in your sinful life, by continuing in rebellion and resistance. Then you will see him that day. Every eye will see him when he will come with the clouds. And then it will be impossible to neglect him, to say, well, that he is not really the King of Kings. He will be there in glory. And we have heard from the confession of faith, then the books will be opened. The books. Which books? Of our conscience. And our own conscience will condemn us and say, you knew the way, but you didn't want to walk in that way. So it's righteous that judgment is coming over you. Oh, and today is a day of grace. And I hope, really, I pray with my whole heart that you will condemn yourself today before the Lord. So that there will be no condemnation in the day of judgment. Because that you will receive by faith the deep peace of grace in your heart, that you know Christ took my condemnation, and that you will sing for all eternity to him that made you king and priest, that you will sing and give him glory unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, thou hast prepared, thou hast provided a way to escape from that eternal damnation, to be received in grace, to experience thy undeserved favor like a river of peace in our hearts here by faith, and not perfect, not always, not in a full measure, but after this earthly life for all eternity. So full, so satisfied by seeing thy glory, thy goodness, thy love, thy beauty, thy image. O Lord, bless thy word. Draw us with love to thee, with robes of love. Overcome our natural pride and resistance, our sinful stubbornness, and make us meek, humble, to receive this Savior today. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Forgive us everything that was not according to thy holy will. Bless it to our hearts. Be with us this night, the end of this year, the beginning of the new year. O Lord, we cannot end this year without thee. We cannot start a new year without thee. O Lord, be with us. Be merciful unto us. Forsake us not. We are worthy, O Lord, if thou would do according to our sins, that thou would, we deserve it, that thou would forsake us. But, O Lord, remember thy covenant. We pray, O Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Be merciful for Christ's sake. Protect us this night. Bring us together tomorrow in thy house. O Lord, forgive us our sins. Let thy name be glorified. Let thy name be honored and praised. We pray it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.